Hey guys, this is Derek, and I'm here with Nick.
Yo!
Hi, Nick.
And Grant.
Hello.
Everybody else is slacking today.
Slackers.
Actually, that's not true.
No, Lizzie. Slackers.
No, it's true. Very true. Not here.
Well, just because they're not here doesn't mean they're slacking. All right, I'm going to gain some brownie points. Lizzie is staying home with a sick kid.
What about Mark? Where's Mark? Semi-forgivable, but Mark, the somewhat involved in the podcast.
Contributor.
Yeah.
He's still editing.
He's really just editor at this point. He's not even a contributor.
Which is a big piece.
True.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's a big piece.
It's valued.
Not bad for the heretic.
Yep.
he's super busy today because he's not even going to make it to our group tonight. So I think he's got work and then some family stuff going on. But so we miss you guys. And, well, I miss you guys. The other two here don't. It is what it is. But this week's topic is fear and anxiety.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to start with a quote. And it's a quote most people know, but I'm going to read the whole thing. So, I am certain that my fellow Americans expect on my induction into presidency, I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impel. This is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honestly facing conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive, and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. So this speech was by President Franklin Roosevelt. And regardless of how you feel about the former president, his words still ring true today. We may not agree on what the efforts are that we need to be doing in our country to overcome this fear, but fear has still kept its hold. It's time to stand against the fear, and all those who would wield it as a weapon, welcome to the Truth Response.
Bam, 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 bam.
All right, so Grant's going to pray for us.
Yeah, Grant.
Dear Lord, be with us. we're going to explore fear and anxiety. God, we just ask that you would just open our hearts, open our minds, allow us to communicate your truth through this podcast, Lord. We ask that the listeners might gain something out of this, that they might have a new perspective on the truths that you give us through the Bible, Lord, and how you speak into our lives, Lord, to give us calm and peace amidst a storm. We're so thankful for the opportunity to do this podcast, for the community that supports us, Lord. We ask that you would just continue to allow us to move forward and grow and get closer to you. In your name, Lord, amen.
Amen. This is a really great time to talk about fear and anxiety because just a few days ago, there was a tremendous amount of fear and anxiety, so much so that just about every gas station was sold out of gas in Southwest Florida. You couldn't go to Walmart. Had a really hard time finding bread because we needed bread. All they had was like honey wheat or something like that, which I'm okay with, but the rest of my family is not.
They don't like honey wheat?
Nope.
Oh, man, that's what we get.
Only white. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's the only way they're going to roll.
Oh. You know, what's interesting is just before the hurricane freak out with the gas, there was tainted gas in Lehigh.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
always be afraid.
And so, like, so not only were people freaked out about the tainted gas with gas stations shut down, but then there was none to be found because people went nuts over
tainted
it.
Love?
Something like that.
It's a little bit different.
It is a little different.
Okay.
I don't know. Hurts either way.
Does. Yep.
Y'all are ridiculous. So which direction are we going with this? Fear or anxiety? Or both at once?
Well, let's start with fear. Fear is an easy one to jump into. Everybody fears something.
Did we do this one time before where we talked about what we're afraid of?
I don't think so.
Oh.
What are you scared of?
Nothing. What's your unreasonable fear?
Everybody knows mine. It's spiders.
Yeah.
Spiders are my unreasonable fear. It's definitely a phobia. But I have slowly gotten better about dealing with it. I can actually kill some of them now instead of... Well, it used to be, like, so debilitating. Like, I would just freeze. I couldn't run. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do anything. Like, I would just freeze up over stupid spiders. And it's unreasonable. That's why it's a phobia. It doesn't make sense, right? But I've slowly gotten to a point of, actually, not too long ago, in the middle of praise and worship, right?
Oh, yeah.
Singing.
This is so good.
I've got, you know, my eyes closed and I'm playing and I'm not going to do it here, but like I usually am like eating the mic. Like I am like right up against it, right? And it is gross. And
who uses that after you?
I have no idea, but I feel sorry
for
them. But like I'm right up against the mic almost. And so like I open my eyes and for the first time ever, never in the 20 years that I've been doing worship, like have I ever had this happen. There's a spider standing right there, like right on the metal piece. And I closed my eyes, which is I was able to close my eyes and pray while singing at the same time instead of screaming into the mic like I wanted to. And then when I opened my eyes, it was like crawling away. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. And then I kid you not, like 2 weeks ago, I had another spider hanging off of my microphone. And it's like, I don't know where these things are coming from, but like we got to get this fixed. Like it's a problem. But I didn't scream during that one either. So
you're probably like living down in it.
Yeah. Oh, that's gross.
I'm waiting for you.
Now I'm afraid of microphones because there might be
spiders
living in them.
I'm waiting for you, Derek.
Right? Unreasonable fear.
Here, right?
That is like you have that fear to the unreasonable extent too. Like I don't know if it's a fear, but I do not like spiders. Yeah. I'll go that far. I'm just gonna kill them. They're dead.
Yeah.
I see it dead.
Yeah.
I'll chase it till it's dead.
I was in college and I called my mom. I was at home on like the weekend and there was like a spider that it probably took up a 1-inch tile. It wasn't huge, but it wasn't tiny, right? And it was probably actually a wolf spider, because we got a lot of those in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
But so it is in my bathroom, and I'm at my parents' house, right? While I'm going to the bathroom, and I call my mom, who's at work, and I asked her to come home so she could kill the spider, so that I could get out of the bathroom.
That's ridiculous.
I proceeded to fight the spider with hairspray and a lint roller. And I'm not sure that it killed it, but I was able to get out, so. But, I mean, it was to that extent, so.
That's unreasonable.
Lizzie kills the spiders in my house.
You know what else freaks me out? Like, there's a thing for this, too. But you know when the water's kind of clear and you can see an object below it? I've never been there, but I've seen the pictures, like the USS Arizona. How you can kind of like, it's right beneath the surface of the water. Freaks me out. I don't know why. Okay. Like, I would love to go see it, but it's weird. Like,
that is strange.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
So, like, what about you? What do you have any, like?
I don't know that I have any unreasonable fears. Like, I don't care for snakes.
Okay.
They're not my favorite, but I feel like.
But if you had to fight one, you could.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have danced around in the backyard with a black racer and a stick before.
No, you are fighting it with the wrong tools, dude. You need like a 12 gauge.
Well,
it's a black racer for crying out loud.
Have you ever been bit by one?
No, but
I've seen them bite people. I am not going to get bit by one.
Luckiest hit. I smoked it right on its head.
Gunk, nice.
Dunked it.
Their teeth like hook back.
Yeah.
And like they like sink in. So even after you kill them, you've got to like pry them out.
Oh. Yeah, no, gross. I don't really care for snakes. You know, I mean it's the normal like, okay, I was in the Coast Guard, and everybody, you know, you say you're in the Coast Guard, it's just this assumed thing that you're this incredible swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was a mechanic in the Coast Guard. I sink, right? So, like...
No, you're supposed to keep things from sinking, aren't you?
Yeah, like, so, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not really scared of the water, but, like...
You know you're lot in this thing. This ship gets hit... You're just going right to the bottom with it. Yeah. Like, just lock the door. I'm going down.
I used to be on the training team teaching people how to do damage control if the ship caught fire, if we hit an object. Like, I was on the training team. So, like, I was supposed to be this premier person. And I was comfortable with it. But, like, goodness gracious, the alarm goes off and you never know what you're going to get. Yeah. And it would be scary, like, you know, but I feel like, once again, it'd be a reasonable fear. Like, roller coasters, I used to love them. I don't love them anymore. My daughter loves them. She's all about it. And I'm just kind of like, I'll go on it, but I'm not happy about it.
And that's an unreasonable fear.
I suppose.
I don't feel like unreasonable. I would say it's unreasonable.
It kind of is. I mean,
I don't like roller coasters as much as I used to either.
Yeah. I mean,
I like them, and I'll go on them.
I don't get the opportunity to ride roller coasters anymore, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have any reasonable ones. Unreasonable, rather. I have a lot, you know, reasonable ones.
So
everything's very calculated, though, because I'm fairly analytical. So when it comes to risk, I tend to try to chalk things up pretty quick. Like, okay, is this worth the potential of me getting hurt? Like a motorcycle. I've never ridden a motorcycle in my life on the road. I've no desire to. I think the mechanical aspect of them are incredible, but I'd rather ride a four-wheeler or drive a big truck or something. Like, I have no desire for a motorcycle.
Like, especially not down here in Southwest Florida.
No. So I have no desire for that. But I don't know.
That's completely reasonable.
Yeah.
It's pretty reasonable.
Down here, that's completely reasonable. And... realistically speaking, nowhere do people actually like pay attention for motorcycles.
Yeah.
But so I took a class, and I want to get into like deeper fears, because that's surface level fears, right? Like, I mean, honestly, we're talking surface level fears.
True.
I took a marriage and family class in college, and we studied divorce by a secular writer, which was kind of cool to find out that a secular author, you know, researcher, found that divorce is it. Nobody wins from divorce.
Nope.
And there is no divorce in which people win from.
Nope.
So nobody can say, like, you know, the divorce didn't have negative effects, because that's not true, right? Doesn't mean the situation isn't better, right, at times, but somebody along the way gets hurt, and it lasts and affects people in divorce. It's a bummer. But the other part of that class was we talked about something called a fear cycle. It's all about arguments, right? Think of an argument that you've had with your spouse, right? Like a big one, like... may have been dumb, but it may have been a big fight, right? Now, the idea of a fear cycle is somebody said something that triggered one of your fears, and so you responded, and your response triggered one of their fears, and it just keeps going, and you can't break that cycle of fight until you realize something's going on and you stop triggering the other person, right? And it happens really naturally when you know the person. When you know the person well, it just happens. Like, and it doesn't even mean you're intentionally doing anything. It just, that's how the conversation goes. So, like, one of my biggest fear, even bigger than spiders, is being alone the rest of my life. Like, that is a fear that just is deep to the core, right? And so, I mean, there's been fights that Lizzie and I have had that that's one of the things that gets triggered, and it gets triggered pretty easily. You know, when you walk away, if I'm in the middle of an argument with somebody and they just turn around and walk away, that just sets me off. Like, I lose my ever-loving mind when somebody does that. And Lizzie's only, like, gotten in her car and drove away once, which is good. I told her not to do it again. Well, I told her next time she does it, don't come back. So, and we haven't had that situation again. Like, and it was more of a, look, if you need to go drive and clear your head, tell me that's what you're going to go do, right? It's one thing to, like, be like, I don't want to talk about this right now. I'm going to go drive. I need to clear my head and calm down. And it's another just to leave, mm-hmm. right? And so that was what I actually said, was that, you know, like, look, it's cool if you've got to get out. Like, I get it. Like, if you need to just remove yourself from the situation, but at least communicate to me that you're coming back, mm-hmm. right? In one way or another. And I said, next time, just if you're not going to do that, don't come back. I'll figure it out myself, because I don't need to have that fear lingering over my head, right? Of, you know, am I going to be alone raising my kid? You know, all these different things that go into it. Like, and so, like, that's like, we're talking about surface level spider fears, right? But super deep level fear is, for me, is being alone, like, the rest of my life. That's something that just absolutely terrifies me. And it's when you know that about me, it explains a lot of the things that trigger me. It explains a lot of, like, my emotional outbursts and whatnot. And so, I don't know. That is a fear that is fairly unreasonable, right? Like, you can't even get away from people nowadays. Like, so, like, I don't know. But that's a deep level fear that I have. And I mean, I have Jesus, right? Like, he's with me everywhere I go. And yet I still struggle with that fear, you know, that fleshly fear. So
I think if you look at, you know, you say reasonable, unreasonable, I think that is totally based on perspective.
Sure.
I mean, there's some people that jump out of airplanes every day and they're like, yeah, no big deal. It doesn't matter. I've jumped a 10,000 times. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to jump out of a perfectly good airplane, right? So, but
someday.
You know, it's all relative.
I think the unreasonable, like the when you say unreasonable, it's more the reaction, like to what extent.
Okay.
Like, it's not reasonable for anybody to be scared of a spider to the point of not being able to move.
True.
Like, that's unreasonable for anybody,
especially
right?
For a man to be afraid of a spider that's 1 inch in diameter.
I'm more scared of the smaller ones.
Oh.
I figured that one out. But I get what you're saying. Like, some things there isn't, like, it's perspective based, but some things are just too far, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why they're phobias.
So what if we do a bit of a paradigm shift here? And I actually, in a book I was listening to, it was Tony Robbins' Unleashed Power Within, right? So something that he did and linked was stress, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody experiences stress. Everybody handles stress differently. Mm-hmm. But at the root, what is stress? Mm-hmm. And what he linked up was stress and fear. And it was actually pretty cool. And as soon as he said it, I'm like, well, duh. Like, that makes perfect sense. So for me, a huge fear is fear of failure.
Mm, sure.
I have failed. I mean, we've all failed in different ways, right? But, like, I have failed. Some failures, like, you can't get rid of, right? Divorce, right? Like, you can't get rid of that. There's stuff that you just, like, you fall flat on your face,
right.
Period. Even if you've rebounded from it and you've reconstructed and you've rebuilt and you've, you know, whatever, the end of the day, it was a failure. It's tainted. You're tainted, right? Like, there's no way around that. So, however, whenever you get into a place of failure, okay, how do we... How do you rebound out of that? And so, like, those are things that, you know, I've tried to shift my perspective of, okay, I mean, I go back to constantly being an entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I initially started because I had the security of a salary. I went from starting out was 50-50. The emotion of motivation, right, which can also be totally linked in with fear, because motivation is the only thing that can really overcome fear, right? People do really stupid things because they're motivated by something, right? And then the other 50% is totally failure, the fear of failure itself. So, you know, once you build up, whether they're real or false, security nets, you can start overcoming fear and the fear of failure, whether it's whatever, a customer base or 3 months worth of projects build up or whatever it looks like. It's totally false, because if I cut off my welding hand tomorrow, like, there goes that, right? So, you know, there's
maybe
things
you have
that,
like, one surgically implanted, like, like a welder.
Perfect.
Hand.
Great.
Like, it just, your fingers. Like,
I just need a couple clamps. Just give me a clamp. But no, so failure is a big deal. And so I've really tried to, like, really dive into what that looks like. Because once again, it's like the surfacey fears, right? Mm-hmm. Well, those are fine, whatever, right? Like, we deal with those. It's the subconscious. It's the deep ones. Mm-hmm. It's the triggers. It's the scars. It's the failures. It's... Yep. Those things are the ones that, without putting a lid on them or without dealing them and facing them, those are the ones that can prevent us from living the most potential life that we have, getting the most out of whatever we can do, prevent us from mastering things, prevent us from, instead of looking backwards, we're looking forward at the future of what is possible instead of just looping on these fears. So
it's good, man. I can resonate with that. I think you and I are a lot the same that way too. Like, you know, you always want to set yourself up in a way that ensures you don't lose
all day long.
Inevitably you're going to at some point, but you want to set yourself up in that place. Like, I mean, even as a kid playing video games, it's like, yeah, I play a lot of sports games, so I'm gonna pick the best team. And then I'm going to play the worst team, right? And I'll keep doing that over and over and over and over and over again until maybe I'm like, okay, I'll try another team. Okay, it was still okay. Like, you just kind of gradually work yourself up to that place where you allow competition to actually be a part of what you do. But yeah, I definitely get that. And I think there's a lot of things I've played it safe with in life. Well, at least until I was 30 and had to start over at that point. And then it helped me to see just how big God is and how I can do, like, this isn't a self-help podcast, right? But we're capable of doing so much more, especially when our calling comes into the equation. Like, when God wants you to and he makes it clear that you're supposed to, he makes a way where there might not seem to be one. And, like, I mean, I think you're leaning into your calling. It's like, some of you are like, how am I called to be a welder? But God gave you gifts and talents and abilities to be able to do that and put you in front of people that you're able to connect with. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it, you're doing it on a professional level, but when people are like, what makes you different than the next guy? They're able to see, wow, it's Jesus that's ultimately that's in your driver's seat, right? He's the one behind, you know, behind the welding mask, like, that's doing it.
But
so,
it hadn't always been that way.
No, it's not.
My wife and I were talking about this earlier. Actually, she came along with me today, and we were talking about pouring, right? So little rabbit trail, but like, I feel like I have been pouring. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, if whatever it is, time, resources in general, if okay, we're satisfied, we're okay. So, like, how can I start pouring, right? Because I want to pour into no different than pouring into this podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here and continue to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, that's awesome. I hope that we can change lives through it. Yeah. I hope that, you know, we gain so, I gain so much out of it. It's just mm-hmm. like, not that I'm here to consume, but man, I learned so much too. Mm-hmm. So, but okay, you know, pouring into church, pouring into relationships, pouring into, you know, building community around us. I mean, all of those things have an impact. And I don't know. I know that's sidetracked, but
no, it all makes a ton of sense, though. I mean, that's good. And, you know, you recognize, like, you took some bold steps to put yourself in a position that you could ultimately fail. And
I still can.
And you can, right. Anybody can.
Anybody
on any
can.
Day,
yeah.
Right? Any given day is all absolutely. It takes, right? It, like, and it could be any number of different things that happens. I mean, I'm not speaking these things over anybody, but it's like, yeah, you lose your hand, like a car accident, like any number of things. You are an entrepreneur. You are a sole proprietor of your business. So there's nobody else that's gonna clean up any of the mess, right?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Like it's all yours. So kudos for having the boldness to do those things. Mm. Like, that's awesome. And it's cool because I'm sure a lot of other people could duplicate what you're doing, not necessarily as a welder, but in any different fashion or sense, if they would be willing to be bold to do it. There's a commercial. I can't tell you what it's. Oh, I think it's for Amazon. But it's the security guard. He's sitting in front of all these. I don't know if you saw this. Sitting in front of all the monitors. He was watching a show on Prime or something like that, and the guy's cooking. And then he's like, huh. And then he orders some just entry-level cooking things, and he's looking at the sandwich first that he's eating. He's like, oh, man. Like, he orders this entry-level cooking stuff, and he starts cooking his own meals, and he's like, oh, that's pretty good. And he shares it with the guy next to him. And then he starts to become more confident in his abilities, and then he's walking by a restaurant that's looking for a head chef.
Awesome.
And like, he walks in the doors, and that's where the commercial ends. But it's like this guy who's in a place that he's just wallowing, you know. He's mm-hmm. like, I know I'm more than this. I know I'm made for more than this. And it's not even saying that there's anything wrong with being a security guard and like in the equation. Nope. He just knew that there was something more that he was supposed to be, something different. I don't even say more, something different that he's supposed to be doing. And he went after it, like, and now he's chasing down this dream that started because he was watching a show and he was eating a sandwich that was dry, right? Yeah. And then he's like, I mean, it's just cool to see how those things translate. He would have never been bold enough to do that otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's also steps to get us to those places where we can be and should be bold.
You can't do it alone.
Right.
Not only like opening your mind up to what God has naturally gifted us with. Mm-hmm. We all have a desire towards one thing or another. I personally would never want to run a podcast. Derek, you're like 100 miles an hour. Like, that's in your head. This is what you want to do. And you're actively taking steps to do it, right? You're not doing it on your own, but man, you've got a support group around you. And our listeners are part of that group of support, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But like, how awesome would it be to see this go from 100 listeners to 1,000 to 10,000, mm-hmm. whatever that may be. But it would be a reflection of your motivation. Okay, there's tons of people that are scared to, heaven forbid, I get my voice is recorded. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I was like, hold on, you want me to be on this? I don't know. Like, I don't know if I have enough filter for this, you know? But you do it. You get on it, and, like, you own it.
And he doesn't have any filter.
And he has no filter. But think about it. You put yourself out there, and though we're hiding in this dark room that's padded and, you know, like, whatever, but still, people – I had somebody come up to me last Sunday, and he was talking to me about the podcast, and it was kind of that like little reality check, like, oh crap, people at church are actually listening, like, you know. But it was like, cool, like, that's awesome, like, that's what it's about. And
so I'm glad that you brought that up, because I don't know, what was it? Uh, It's probably, what, 8 months ago? Something like that. We were in a different room. We were sharing a room with broadcast, right? I was frustrated about it because things kept getting moved and rearranged and everything else, and it wasn't a great spot, but we just kept putting out and doing everything that we were doing, right? And then I was cleaning up balloons and talking to this guy I know and was like, yeah, but I'd like to do more, but I'm afraid of, you know, basically of failing. And I was like, well, you know, why? And I was like, well, because I've been through it recently, like with our sound, our online sound. And I was like, I kept going back to the elders and saying, okay, this $3,000 is going to fix what we need. And then it was like, well, that didn't fix it. This $3,000 is going to be what it takes to fix our problem. And that didn't fix it. And it's been a 3-year struggle. And I mean, I eventually got it, but I'm afraid that, like, if I buy the wrong thing, I'm out of money, and I'm not able to ask the church for it yet. And, you know, all these different things. And that person was like, well, stop it. Basically, like, we'll figure this out. What do you need to make this happen? And that person was you, Grant. And so, like, your fight through failures has caused you to have a passion to inspire others to also fight through failures. Mm-hmm. So one of the great things about fears is that once we realize that there are fears, we can start taking a hold of them. And through Jesus, we are able to take those fears and help others move past them as well. Mm-hmm. So we would not be where we are today if you hadn't come along and been like, you got this, yep, and I'm walking beside you in it.
Yep. I'm still here. I ain't going anywhere.
No, yeah, absolutely. But and look, if you did, I'd have to kick you. So
it's risk versus reward.
Right.
I mean, at some point, we have to put our heads out there, regardless of the situation. If you believe in something, okay, we believe in that Bible. We believe in what God has done in our lives. Mm-hmm. The second that we hold back because we're hesitant on what he's capable of, my life has been plenty messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, I've messed up plenty, you know, and I've failed. But if we refuse, I've turned my back on God. I've ran as far away as I could possibly go. And guess what? I turned around and he's right there. Like, are you done yet? Like, this is, I'm really tired of following you around. Like, come on, let's go. There's an easier way, right? Yeah. Like, so if we're not impacting those around us, we're failing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes it's more intense than others, but like, you know, no different than getting up in the morning and looking at the person in the mirror and saying, you're going to do better today. Mm-hmm. 1% better. In 100 days, we're going to be 100% better. But today, your goal is 1% better. Mm-hmm. If you're not striving, you're missing the mark. And we're just wasting time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, man.
Yep. Some days are easier than others, though, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it's good. I mean, and definitely, I mean, all of us sitting in this room, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for some bold step of faith that just spat in the face of our fears. I mean, Derek, you and Lizzie, you moved to Southwest Florida while Lizzie was pregnant for a part-time job. Like, that was nuts. I mean,
Grant, I didn't handle it well.
Yeah,
but I don't, it was still crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you took a bold step to start your own business, you know, in the midst of a bunch of other crazy stuff happening in your life, and you leaned into the Lord and he opened up doors for you that only he could open up. I mean, man, I walked away from what could have been back in that cycle of, you know, another high paying career. And when I had two kids and we moved and I became a freshman in Bible college and, you know, 1,000 miles away from home, like, you know, it's all God rewards the faith that we take. Like he's never going to lead us down a path that leads to just utter failure and desolation, right? He's going to lead us into a place where we do fail in order for us to realize that he's the one calling the shots. And so it's really cool to know, like, the story that just the three of us have and how God's met us in our faith. The moment that I was really, really finally willing to say, all right, God, it's all yours. I am afraid because I don't know how we're going to pay to do all these things. Like, I've got my strategic plan and how some of this is going to come to be, but you need to show up to make it work. And he always inevitably did in a really cool way. And so I think there's a note in there for whoever's listening to this right now. Like, there is something that you know God is calling you to do. It's probably something way bigger than what you feel comfortable with doing, but that's where God meets us. Like, he doesn't meet us in the comfort of the front porch. He meets us out in the wilderness. That's where he desires to do his best work. And I'm going to challenge you, whoever you are, doing whatever God has called you to do it. And honestly, I'd like to hear about that too. So, you know, send us a note, like hit up our social media or send us an email, thetruthresponse@gmail.com. I'd love to hear about the bold thing that you know God's calling you to do or that God has called you to do and you've taken the first step. And you might not see the light at the end of the tunnel yet, but you know it's down that hard road somewhere. And that can look like a whole bunch of things. That can look like reconciliation. That can look like breaking a cycle of addiction. It can look like confronting your spouse from an affair that you had. Like, that could look like chasing down a job and a career, a ministry, you know, something that God's laid on your heart. So I would say, you know, go after it and don't be afraid of what others around you say. However, there is wisdom that God will put into the people around you. So make sure you're listening to some of those voices as well, because if there's no one affirming that call on your life, the chances are that might just be you wanting something that you're not at the point yet where it's time to get that thing. So, I'm gonna lay down a challenge, a truth response challenge right now.
You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about music and like what song has been resonating with you that you could play over and over and over again. And the song, not ironically, but you know, I think it's God's providence over it. That's been in my life recently that I just can't get out of my head is a song called Joyful Noise by Flame featuring Lecrae. It's a Christian rap song. But it's got like the chorus is kind of like praise and worshipy, so it's kind of cool. But the lyrics that kick off the whole song is, your boy's been a Christian quite a few years. Victory in faith, but I failed in my fears. I heard a lot of words that have tickled many ears. That's why I praise God for the word that we adhere. And so, like, it's basically, like, just that, hey, acknowledging that all these things have happened, right? And yet I'm learning to take all of that and, like, just praise God for what we do cling to, you know? And not letting the fear of failure, of mistakes, also hold us down, you know, like that's something that I think we do far too often, especially those who are actually, you know, trying to be diligent in the faith, that we we take a failure or a mistake or a sin or whatever, and we like dwell there, and we let it hold us down and hold us back instead of praising God for when we are doing what he has called us to do, you know. Mm-hmm. So encouraging people in that too.
Let's bring this back to the Bible for a minute, because there's a bunch of really good fear verses, but one that pops to mind is from Isaiah. And if you know about the background of Isaiah, like, dude's a prophet, and he is talking about the ridiculous stuff that has gone on with the people of Israel and how they've turned their backs on God and chased after a bunch of false gods, and how there's judgment coming. And despite all of the kind of ominous tone that exists throughout much of Isaiah, because there's some really, really great high points. I mean, you get the proclamation of the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, right? The Christmas morning call. You get the for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, government be on his shoulders, be called wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Like, you get those great proclamations, and then you get all these incredible judgments that are called upon the people of Israel as well. But he says this towards the end of the book, Isaiah 41. He says, after he's confronting all the people that are just prostituting themselves to all these false gods, he says, "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corners I called you. I said, 'You're my servant. I've chosen you and I've not rejected you. So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.'" That's an incredible statement in the midst of something that Isaiah is ultimately pointing toward. This whole house of cards is going to fall. Like, there's going to be hard things that come ahead before the good things come. But trust in all of this, that I'm with you. Even when the Assyrians come knocking on the door in the northern kingdom, even when the Babylonians come knocking on the door in the southern kingdom, I'm with you. Don't be afraid of all of this. Trust me that even though you've failed me, I cannot fail you.
That's good.
All right, so I got an analogy here. We look at hurricane, right?
Hurricane.
Okay, we've all been, okay, relative to last year, Ian, right? Mm-hmm. It was on the same track. Charlie, same mm-hmm. track, right? We're all sitting here in Lee County. We had a little bit different tune this time around sure. when hurricane started rolling our direction, right? We're all a little scarred,
yeah.
right? I mean, my house was fine through Ian, but how much got destroyed? I think it was $113 billion worth of damage.
Ridiculous.
Just insane, right? So everybody was singing a little bit different tune this go around. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a little bit more prepared, okay? So I would like to hit on the word prepare and mm-hmm. the second word, kind of proactive, mm-hmm. right? So this concept of, okay, in that scripture, basically, like, it says, like, there's going to be hard times, but God's with us mm-hmm. right there and has us protected. As Christians, I don't believe that means we just hole up in our house and say, it's going to be great. God's right. going to provide gas. It's going to fall out of the sky.
Yep.
Like, oh, we don't need power. It'll magically happen. Like, I think that there's a fine line of, like, you know, we can't live in fear and just constantly, like, hoard, I don't know, bottles of water and mm-hmm. gas mm-hmm. to be prepared for a hurricane, right? But I think there's also, we have to do our due diligence mm-hmm. in preparing for, you know, the potential of a bad time or a hard time. But what are your thoughts with preparedness versus fear? Like,
well, I'm definitely convicted because we were not prepared at all. In fact, okay. I have zero gas for our generator.
Okay.
Like, I have always had the intentions, like, beginning of summer, I'm going to fill up the generator. I'm going to put some fuel stabilizer in it so it'll be good. I'm going to fill up our gas tanks, make sure we're good there, gas cans. And I had none of that squared away. Last year had flashlights, batteries, like, went and bought some staple foods and some things like that. And, like, we were in a position going into the hurricane season last year that was a blessing because we were ready when it did come. But this year I was like, meh. And then the whole track of this, like, I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, Lord, please be right for once in your life, forecasters. Like, just let it stay to the west. Let it stay to the west. And it did. And so, you know, the whole time I'm kind of watching this and also watching that other storm, Harvey, I think it was, that was out in the Atlantic, who was helping us. Like, because that low pressure system was pushing pushing the other low pressure to the west. So as I was seeing that, like, I'm not a meteorologist. I took a meteorology class in college because I had to. It was miserable, quite frankly. Was like, I feel like I know enough to see the way that these things are working that, okay, this shouldn't really be a threat. Like, I understand how these models are coming out. So I was like, eh, we lose power. Sucks, right? We're just going to be without power. Like, I had intention of buying a new grill this year because ours is rusted out. Like, it is beyond salvation at this point. Like, it's toast. Like, meh, don't have that. Like, all right. We're just screwed at this point. So, hey, the good news is we're on city water, so we will have water. Like, that's a win. So we'll open up the windows and we'll have water to drink and peanut butter sandwiches because we had enough bread to make peanut butter sandwiches for a few days. So it was like
white bread.
Yeah, white bread. Yeah, exactly. But it was like, you say those things and, well, there's conviction on my part. Like, I did not prepare my family well at all. So, you know, next week, you know what I'm doing? I'm gonna go fill up all of our gas cans. I'm gonna make sure the generator's running. I'm gonna do all the things that I intended to do going into the summer that I put off for another day. But you hit the nail right on the head with that. And the Bible is a word of preparation. I mean, the whole thing from the very beginning to the very end. When you read it all together, it's like, this thing is calling you to be ready all the time, right? And the Bible even says that. Be ready in season and out of season. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, right? Always be ready because the bridegroom is coming like a thief in the night, right? We don't know the day, the hour, the minute when Jesus is coming back. And in fact, that was even veiled from him to know all of that too. All we know is it's going to come like a thief in the night. And so be prepared is a huge... That's a huge message and call and indictment for those of us who are not prepared. I mean, I feel like if Jesus came back, I'm ready for that. But if another hurricane comes, I'm not ready for that. So, right.
I think that is so true. Like, studying your scripture and knowing what God says and what his word is directing us to allows us to act in situations instead of reacting. Anytime you've ever had a bad fight, a bad reaction to something, it's always been because, like, it was reactionary, right? Like, you that's how people do things. Like, there's people get cut off in traffic and they react to it, you know? Whereas, like, if you're spending time in scripture, you're not going to get as upset when somebody cuts you off. You might start praying for them. You know, you become ready for the situations that God provides you for. You can't be ready for something unless you practice.
What point in your walk does that happen?
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm there, so.
Oh, man.
You pray for the people that cut you off?
Yeah.
Oh. I contemplate how big of a snowplow I can put on the front of my truck to push him out of the way.
Well, like, okay, so somebody
to be at least quarter inch steel.
Somebody told me one day, a while back, like,
pray,
hey,
for those,
you know,
who persecute you.
Well, there's that too. Yeah. No, but like, you don't know what's happening to them.
I know.
You don't know what's happening in their life. You know, like, and so, like, think about what you would do. Say your spouse was in the hospital all of a sudden, or your kid was having a heart attack and you're trying to rush. You have no idea. And we may think we know what's going on in people's lives because that stuff is not, emergencies don't happen all the time. And there's no way that many people
Dude,
could
yeah,
be.
There's a lot of people with emergencies.
There's a lot of people with emergencies,
acres,
right?
Yeah,
but
a lot of people.
But instead, we should be praying for them, you know, that they get where they're going safely and that everybody else around them is safe, you know, and that, you know, whatever the situation may be that warrants being in such a rush to get in front of one person, right. You know, like to get their one car length ahead of where they were, you know, that whatever that situation is, you know, that God is working in the midst of it, you know.
I mean, you have that moment in, where is it, where Elisha calls down in Samuel, right? And those boys were making fun of him. He calls the she-bears, and they eat the boys. So I feel like there might be some justification in there. Like, okay. Maybe.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I feel persecuted by this person.
Bring on the she-bears.
Yeah, but at the same time, like today I was talking about the story of Jesus and the demon-possessed man with Legion and all that, where he sends him off into the pigs, you know, and he's like, they're like, you know, don't destroy us. We know that you can do that. Send us into the pigs instead. And he had mercy enough to do so. Mm. Like, it just blows my mind that even Jesus has mercy on the demons by instead of destroying them, which was totally within his right. And if you go by what a lot of people think about God, who Jesus was, you know, that light and darkness can't dwell in the same place at the same time. That crazy concept that I don't necessarily fully agree with, but there's some truth and some reading into things that I think that happens within that idea. But the fact that, like, the things that literally are acting actively against Jesus and God, he still had mercy upon them in the moment where he could just get rid of them. Like, he could do away with them, and it wouldn't have hurt those around him. It wouldn't have hurt the witness, you know, that he had. But yet he built upon the idea of his mercy being so great that he even had mercy on the demons, who will have their day, but it wasn't that day, you know. But we were talking about that, and so it was just kind of like, I don't know.
All right, so I didn't bring any notes today, but I was really thinking about this prior to, and I was thinking about, have you heard the acronym EDC, Everyday Carry? Does that resonate with you at all?
Mm-mm.
All right, well,
like the weapon?
Everyday carry. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, whatever you carry in your pockets. Yeah. What, like, Derek, what's in your pockets right now?
A phone, business cards,
okay.
Like two or three sets of keys, guitar picks.
Okay.
And my wallet.
Okay, fair enough. Do you carry a knife? Do you ever have a pocket knife on you?
No.
Okay. Do you carry a pocket knife?
No. I always want to.
It's just one more thing for my pocket.
I have the intention. Yeah, that's usually it.
All right, fair enough.
Back when I used to wear boots all the time, I had one in my boot.
Okay.
When I worked maintenance, I always carried a Leatherman.
There you go. So, all right.
Yeah.
But why? Why did you carry a Leatherman?
Because inevitably there was something we were going to run into, and it was maintenance on the whole campus. So, and there was only one tool bin. So you took the tools you thought you needed, and then you'd get into a place where you're like, oh, man, I really need a pair of pliers, or, oh, man, I really need a flathead instead of a Phillips head. And so it's like, that thing saved me some. I mean, it's getting paid by the hour. Why did I even care? I don't know.
Is that one of those things that folds out into like a pair of pliers?
They're incredible. Cool. Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah, it's totally in a go bag. Like, I got one.
Yep.
But I should probably get one of those for my go bag.
Yeah, they're important. So, okay, so I came to, okay, I carry a gun with me everywhere I go, right? I've got a gun on me now. I've got 16 rounds, right? If I was confident enough, I would only have one round, right? Why do I need another 15 after that, right? Okay, one round is more than enough to kill somebody. If I was scared in fear for my life, right? So we use that term, in fear for my life. We use that to justify a deadly force action, right? So if I was in fear for my life, right, by our standards and laws in the United States, I can use my weapon to suppress that fear, right? But think about it. How often, something like a gun, right? Like, God knows the exact second that I will breathe my last breath. That is not in my control. So something that good, bad, indifferent. Is it how do you view something like that? I mean, a gun has power, right? Mm-hmm. I mean that God allowed man to create it, mm-hmm. right? We have the means to carry it mm-hmm. lawfully, right? But is it compensating for fear, or does it fall on the line of being proactive? Mm-hmm. And now the people around me have a peace because I don't carry it just to protect myself. Right. I carry it. If somebody came through that door into our little black dome styrofoam thing here, mm. right? Like, y'all know that yep. I would stand up, period, right? Any given Sunday, I will stand up, yep. period. But is that trying to take control of things into our own hands? Or is that's, where does that that's fall? What do you view?
I mean, because if you look at scripture, when they were rebuilding the wall,
okay,
they stationed a man with a sword at every family that was rebuilding a portion of the wall.
Okay.
Because there were threats.
Because yep. there were threats.
They received word that there would be violence brought upon the people.
So they had a sentinel there, whatever you call it.
And our warning that there's going to be threats of violence here, let's just say in the church. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think you shouldn't bring a gun to church, mm. right? But in this country, there's a lot of shootings that happen at churches, mm-hmm. right? Like, I mean, a lot, even if it's 5 a year, yeah, that's a lot, right?
Relative,
so,
yeah.
So, I mean, that is a warning that we're to be prepared, mm-hmm. you know? I mean,
so
God said, don't murder. He didn't say don't kill, or else, you know, there'd be a lot of people he caused to sin throughout all of Scripture, right?
Yeah.
And there is a difference. A lot of people don't see that difference. And so when we're talking about being able to use deadly force with a weapon, mm-hmm. and whether or not that's being prepared or, you know, compensating for fear, it's important to distinguish the two, because killing someone in self-defense, right, or mm-hmm. as protection so that others aren't harmed, is very different than intentionally going out and, like, gunning someone down.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And the intentions of your heart are very different in those situations, right?
Absolutely.
One is to preserve and save and protect, and the other is to harm, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that has to be weighed, and I think that has to be taken into consideration when we're discussing whether or not that's just being prepared or living in fear.
Yep.
Compensating for fear. I like that, compensating for fear.
Yeah, it's a really good point, because I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, what's the intention for you to do this? Like, there is a fine line between preparedness and fear, but I don't think you do it out of fear, and you're not doing it with the intention of ever bringing harm upon somebody.
No.
It's a, well, I want to make sure that, I mean, we lock our car doors for the right? Most of us, I would say, are the doors to our house. We make sure, I guess, depending upon where you lived, if you're listening to this, you could be in one of those places where you don't lock your doors, but most Americans lock their doors at night.
And they didn't always.
Right.
Right? Like, it wasn't always that way. It used to be. And even in our grandparents' day, mm-hmm. right? Like, I heard my grandparents talk about a time where they would leave the doors open and people, you know, your neighbor would just walk right in and say, hey. And it was okay. Yeah. You know, but things happened
mm-hmm.
that warned us that, okay, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And so we lock our doors.
Yeah.
You know,
and the Bible doesn't say that Satan isn't going to come knocking. Like, we know he is, right, one way or the other. However, you want to apply that analogy in life, you know, like,
I think it says he's crouching outside our door.
Mm.
So,
well, I've got a gun for you. So, okay. So everyday carry. I carry a knife, right? Mm. So that is what it is. But I carry a flashlight, right? I always have a flashlight.
Yeah. You
okay.
Do. Yeah.
So we might call it an unreasonable fear of the dark, right? Like, we could say, oh, but there's not a single one of us in pure darkness. Have you ever been in a cave and shut out the lights?
Oh yeah.
It is dark, yeah, right? So every single one of us have one on our our phones. Yeah. So, you know, right. But you kind of take it for granted. Like,
sure.
Think about if we went back and talked to Edison and be like, yeah, dude, we're going to have a flashlight in our pockets. Like, we've just captured your little experiment here and it's in our pockets, right? Yeah. Like, but think about, like, we take that for granted. Mm-hmm. We take it for granted that we always have the ability to turn on the lights mm-hmm. until you get stuck in a hurricane without a generator and no gas.
Mm-hmm. So, although, I'll tell you, after it all passes, if you're not in an area that's devastated, there is a peacefulness to mm-hmm. all of that going away.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, to the noise of the lights and the electricity and everything else just being gone for a brief moment. It's kind of nice.
There is, I mean, and you say peacefulness too. There is a peacefulness that comes through the camaraderie that follows. And mm-hmm. and granted, you run into some people who will loot and do some things like that, but usually, I mean, the police, first responders are so widespread. Usually people catching those people who are coming with the wrong intentions are apprehended by people who are looking out for their neighbors.
Yeah.
And you tend to experience that camaraderie and that neighborliness more so when there is a crisis than you do any other time. And then we go back to hating each other again, which is so weird. But that tends to be how we operate.
And our governor's putting out, if you loot, we shoot. So, you know.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, that's kind of pretty good, too. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Levels the playing field.
Yeah. 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 Well, all of those things are interesting, too, to sum up, because it takes us back. I think it takes us to a place where humanity's greatest fear is revealed. And I would say it's the fear of death and dying. Mm-hmm. That even if you're in right standing with the Lord and you know it, there's still an apprehension of, I could be wrong. Like, there's still the apprehension of, I don't want it to hurt. Like, there's the apprehension of being in one of those compromising situations. And when we live in a culture that sees death as the ultimate end and doesn't have the hope of eternity on the back end, because we've pulled out that hope from every public sphere, it makes all of those things, carrying a gun and you know, even being prepared, it takes all of those things out of the equation, because you're willing to end someone's life who's standing against you for some stuff. And our perspective is, you're willing to end your own life over some stuff. Like, there's some definite challenge that resides in the midst of all of that. And I think the real foundational piece of that is the big question of, what is life? And then wrestling through, we are but a mist in the wind, here today and gone tomorrow. And we live in a culture that can't quantify, that has no response to that other than it's got to be the ultimate evil. And so when you read through the Bible, because you've made death the ultimate evil, when you read through the Bible and you see, you know, you see God's people standing against the Canaanites and obliterating villages and people, you see that as, well, God is bad. That is not good. But you miss the fact that God created, established, holds it all together, and he's the judge at the end of all this. And so by whatever means we leave this life, we stand in front of him. And all of those people, the Canaanites specifically, like, you look at them, that the people of Israel came up against, they were so horrible. I mean, like, there's not, like, can you, maybe Nazi Germany, like, the atrocities that they committed against other people. Like, this wasn't a society of rainbows, ponies, and harmony. This was militant, and this was we will crush and kill anything that stands in opposition to us and our beliefs. And this is, we're going to sacrifice our children on the altar, like, burn them in fire, because that's how we worship our God, and that's how we're going to find favor in his eyes. Like, that's the judgment that God is levying upon these people who have grown so cold and hard. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, in the midst of all of that, right, look at the very first, and it goes throughout too, but the very first place they go, right, Jericho, mm-hmm. they send the spies in or whatever, mm-hmm. and Rahab's got that judgment coming too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, her and her family, they have the same judgment that God's bringing in, and yet God had mercy on them because they were like, you know, we'll change. We repent, you know. And so, like, even in the midst of God bringing judgment, like, people miss that when people repented of the things in the midst of the judgment coming, he had mercy on them, you know. Which, I mean, he's the judge. He's the one who gets to decide all that stuff anyways. But, I mean, even those of us who don't have, all of us with a finite mind, you know, we can see that.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that kind of changes.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of changes, like, the tone of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't just this merciless, you know, wiping out of people.
Mm-hmm.
The mercy is there if you're willing to change,
mm-hmm.
the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Look at he was ready to wipe out Israel,
mm-hmm.
how many times?
Mm-hmm.
You know, his chosen people,
mm-hmm.
and yet had mercy on them.
Well, I think as we kind of land this jambo, what we're told in 1 John is we're revealed this big statement about how God is love, and that how God's perfect love, it casts out fear, that there is no fear in love. And I feel like that's one of those statements and one of those verses that I fight with on a daily basis. And we'll put the whole verse in there. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so there's this fear of punishment that comes along. And God's saying, if you trust in me, if you trust in Jesus, if you know I am who I say I am, you have no fear of punishment or judgment, because you know I always work with intention and purpose. You know that whatever comes upon you, it only comes upon you because I've been willing to do it first. You know that there is no hardship that he's not overcome. There is no valley he's not walked through. And then he reminds us he's with us always. And so the fear that we walk around with on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't come from a place of the Lord. It comes from a place of our own selfish ambition, desires, our lack of understanding, our desire to pursue the ambitions in our heart and not the calling on our life or the grace given to us by way of Jesus.
Yeah, there's a real good worship song that talks about that. And it's, fear doesn't stand a chance, mm-hmm. when I stand in your love.
Mm, amen.
So good.
Yep.
So good.
Yep.
So that's the answer, right? That's the answer to what do we do about the fear that's caused by all the crazy going on in the world, our simple yet kind of ridiculous fears of spiders or whatever, our deep fears of being alone. The answer is let's learn to live in Jesus' love. And let's learn to love like he loves. Because fear doesn't stand a chance in the midst of that.
Amen.
God bless.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and give us a like on iTunes and Spotify so that you will never miss a show. And while you're at it, check out our Facebook and Instagram pages, and make sure you tell your friends about this show. You don't want them to miss out on the truth, because we are all about the truth here. Thanks for joining us this week, and God bless.